Praise the Lord. I have a word this morning that says, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Psalm 73. If you have your scriptures, I'll encourage you to open it. By now, we should all be able to actually recite Psalm 73. At least, almost every month, we open to these scriptures together, and then we read together. Psalms number 23. By now, everybody, and I'm going to give us all an assignment. Don't say you'll not come to church because of that. If you did not do your assignment, still come to church. Hallelujah. So I'm trusting God that by August, first Sunday in August, we will all be able to recite Psalm 23 without opening our scriptures. It has just 6 verses. And the church has helped us already. We recite the last verse after every service. Praise the Lord. So you only have to deal with 5 verses. Hallelujah. And the first one is even very simple. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall want. So you have done with 2 verses already. Praise the Lord. And verse 33, where God is still working with us by God's grace. The Bible says, He restores my soul. And then He does what? He leads me in the path of, right? You see, we have 3 verses already. So you only have 3 verses to deal with. So next month, by God's grace, we will have to recite it together by the grace of God. So make sure you come to church. Don't stay at home because of that. Praise the Lord. All right, let's read Psalm 23 together, everybody. Want to go? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I'll just quickly rush back to verse 4 that says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff comfort me. If the Lord allows, maybe I will take Your rod and Your staff and comfort me later. I just want to quickly and briefly deal with it. As God will help me this morning, I will fear no evil. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word for the shadow of death is shal mawet or shal mabet, which simply means darkness or dark shadow. That's what it means. And that's why you will see some translations that they will interpret. That's why you have the shadow of death in some translation. In some other translation, you probably don't have it, you know, like that. Because the root word for the dark shadow, mawet or mavet, which is same as death, is a root word for death. Praise the Lord. So that's why you have it, you know, as shadow of death in actually quite a number of translations. Praise the Lord. Now, there are 2 school of thoughts. The first school of thoughts believes that the valley of the shadow of death is actually a physical place that exists in Israel. And there's another school of thought that believes that David was just, you know, being literal in, you know, his description. But whichever way, both school of thought believe that the valley of the shadow of death is filled with unpleasant stuffs, like thieves, like jugglers, like rapists, like different kind of things. So I'm sure we've all passed through such kind of an environment at one time or the other in our lives. There's a certain place, and some of us live in some certain places that when you are dark, you don't want to pass through a particular place all alone. You need somebody to either go with you, either a friend or somebody that you know that, yes, if they see the person, they will be afraid. Praise the Lord. So at one time or the other, you may have passed through that. But I'll stay more with those of the school of thought of just taking it as a literal place this morning. Because Every one of us, we have such experience or experiences in one way or the other. Praise the Lord. I hope we're following this one. But of course, from verse 1 of this scripture, the psalmist started by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." So, and it is on that that we are basing or placing everything that we are doing, you know, even in this period. It's on that same word that we are placing everything that we are doing in this period. So, I want to share a scripture with us quickly. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Why do you say be sober, be vigilant? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Praise God. So I'm just going to stay with the word enemy, because the devil is an enemy. But sometimes we don't need to make them more popular. So I'm preaching about the word of God, so I'll talk more and mention more of God than mentioning the other guy that is not serious. It's not a serious thing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I listen together this morning. And just try to follow me. Be vigilant, because your enemy roars around. Now, when the enemy roars, what he does is that he's trying to terrify you. He's trying to create fear in your heart, in your mind. So, what the roaring of the enemy does is to create fear in you. Is to terrify you. Now, the fear does not just come that way. I ministered a message here last week Sunday, Papa Samuel. You know, how he does that is that sometimes the enemy flashes, sometimes he can flash sickness. He can flash joblessness or job loss. He can flash something like a delay. You've been trusting God for something and it's not coming. The roaring of the enemy can come in diverse forms and different forms. Now, the moment you sit down with the flashing of the enemy and begin to analyze it, don't forget the intention is to create fear in your heart. And because you cannot get anything from God when you not fear in your heart, because faith is the opposite of fear. And we know that the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when you not fear in your heart, then you are simply pushing out the faith that is in your heart. And by that, you can't, such person cannot receive anything from God. So the intention of the enemy actually is to what? To put fear in your heart. So when the enemy flashes anything at you, whatever it is, any undesirable stuff that come your way, anything unpleasant or that you do not want, it may be something happening in your family, in your home, it may be something happening around your neighborhood, it may be, sometimes you may not just be comfortable even in the space where you are. May not just be comfortable. There are people that are not just comfortable around here in Sydney. Sometimes those things are not ordinary. Do you know that sometimes when God, I always tell people this, nobody tries to barricade nothing. I'll explain what I'm saying. If we don't have anything in this church, in this auditorium, we don't need to lock the door. Because if someone comes in, the person has nothing to steal. So why not the door anyways? So sometimes you need to be sensitive. When you get to a particular place and God has led you there, if you didn't leave yourself there, and you are not comfortable, you need to be sensitive. Maybe the enemy is trying to frustrate you out of the ways that has placed you. Praise the Lord. Maybe the enemy is trying to what? Frustrate you out of the place that God has placed you. Now, the enemy will come in diverse forms. Do you think, have you ever seen anyone, apart from the story of Job that we read, and even Job, the devil did not go to meet him and say, "Job, I'm coming to give you a problem." So I don't think there's anyone that the devil will say, "I'm coming to give you a problem." No, it will come in different forms. And you will not even know. You won't get any announcement before it comes. Praise the Lord. So every time your neighbor, say, "Be vigilant." Look at the other neighbor, in case that neighbor is sleeping. Say, "Be vigilant."
Be vigilant.
And this is not the time to sleep. Praise the Lord. Receive prophecy. There are some times that you have met some, even some that you respect a lot. And sometimes, it may be that you are speaking actually the truth, maybe what God is showing them. And that may create fear in to your mind. Sometimes it will be some rituals or some belief system that you have that has created fear. You know that there are some families, they will say, in this family, they cannot do this. So they've planted that fear in your heart as well. So you know, in our family, they've said we cannot have a female child in this family, or we cannot have a male child. And you are carrying that, you allow that fear to live in your heart. You are simply chasing away the plans of God if you're doing that. Because the way the enemy operates is that he roars, and the roaring of the enemy comes with all these things that I'm talking about. And the end goal is to put fear in your mind. That's the end goal. To put fear in your mind. So I said, thought of negative antecedents. Or you're looking at the things that have been happening in your life over time, and you are thinking, oh, maybe you've been going for job interviews, and they've been refusing you. And this particular one, that you are just at the last stage of it. In your mind, you have concluded, because of your past experiences, you have concluded and said, I know I will not get it. Don't forget, what the enemy does is to what? To create. Do you know that some people are living in fear to the point that, for example, where some of us came from, the fear that has been on your mind from that place is not even enjoying some people to enjoy the life that they should enjoy in this place. Am I saying the truth? No. Some people are pretending now. But you know that sometimes you deny yourself of some level of goodness because of where you're coming from. I pray that God will deliver us in the mighty name of Jesus. So the moment you allow those things, those thoughts, those negative prophecies, those negative antecedents, those negative friends, those negative family lineage stuff, and things to sit in your heart, the only thing it does is that it creates fear into your mind. And once fear is created into your mind, it becomes difficult for you. But let's look at what the psalmist did. Let's go back to Psalm 23, verse 4. And so we're going to read that scripture together. We're going to read that scripture together. Psalm 23, verse 4. Praise the Lord. Can we read it together again? Let's look at the screen and read so that we can have one translation. One to go. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff will comfort me. So, I want to announce to you this morning, it's not about how righteous you are. It's not about how wonderful you are as a person. It's not about how close to God you are. There is going to be a time or times in your life that you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so that time will surely come. It must surely come. And that's why I always tell us, don't use the experience of another person to judge your own experience. Because your own will certainly come. The timing is just going to be different. So, but whenever it comes, you must remember the word of the psalmist that says, I will fear no evil. Because thou art with me. So the question now is, when you are going through the valley of the shadow of death, it's interesting and very nice to quote scriptures. But the question is, do you live in the reality of the scriptures that you quote? Because if the Lord is not your shepherd, then if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will just be on your own. May you not be on your own at such times that you need God in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
May you not be on your own at such time that you need God's intervention in the mighty name of Jesus. I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. The Lord is my shepherd. So why will I not fear evil? Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. That's why I will not fear evil. That's why I will not need to run helter-skelter. That's why I will not need to run from pole to pillar. That's why I will not need to run from one pastor to another. Because the Lord is with me. Come on, tell your neighbor, say the Lord is with me. Now tell that same neighbor, say, make sure that the Lord is with you. I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. He holds me. I belong to Him. My good times, my bad times, my terrible times are in the hands of God. People that are close to me, they will probably have heard this testimony from me. And please don't do this if you are not operating at that level yet. I'm always looking for the worst possible period whenever I'm going through anything that is not unpleasant. Do you know why? I know that God will come for me. People that are close to me will confirm what I'm telling you. I'm always looking for the worst possible, because when it gets to that point, God knows I'm carrying His name. He knows that wherever I go, it's easy for people to quickly identify me and say, this one is a child of God. So whenever I'm getting into an unpleasant situation and it's taking for too long, maybe that was why my testimony got to that point, the one I shared last week. And God came for my rescue. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I remember when I was in Ontario, I was to stay with a family for 2 weeks before I look for how I'm going to fix myself. Let me say this so that maybe this will encourage somebody this week. And then 2 weeks was almost going to come. And there was this other minister that was coming around. In my mind then, I didn't want to listen to anything. What God told me was, go to Sydney, Nova Scotia. So all in my mind was, I was not ready to partner or go to any other ministry. I heard what God told me. So the 2 weeks was going to come. There was this other pastor coming around, and I was not paying attention to her, because I just didn't want to hear anything else. So when the time was going to come, and then they told me that they were expecting someone, of course, me, my temperance is very important to me. I told them, I said, no, just let me know, when is the person coming? This was before the 2 weeks. I was ready to leave before the 2 weeks. Worst case scenario, I will leave on the other of the 2 weeks. So if I tell somebody I'm going to do this, that's what I'm going to do. I don't want to say I'll do this, and I will not do this. So that's why maybe I'm very careful when it comes to promising people money, because I know I have to fulfill my promise. Praise the Lord. So they told me that somebody was coming. I told them, okay, if that is coming tomorrow, just tell me. I will leave 2 days or the day before. And that was what I did. But guess what? I was doing that because I just wanted to come. In my mind, I will just leave and come here, even if I'm going to sleep on the streets in Sydney. That was my mindset there. But God, in His infinite mercy, because I told God, if you don't provide for me, I will sleep on the streets. Maybe the government will come and carry me. At least I have my legal documents. So maybe they'll come and carry me and say, okay, this black boy that is sleeping on the street or something. Hallelujah. So whenever I was in any situation, I was always looking for what? The worst possible situation, because I know that God will come for me. I've shared that part. I lived in Ontario for about a year and a half. I was not paying rent. I was not buying food for myself. I was not buying clothes for myself. I was not working. My wife was not working. And we were enjoying the grace of God. And my children were attending the best of school. I mean private school. And I don't beg people for money. I don't like it as a person. Praise God. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd. As I said, He holds me. He leads me. And He guides me. And I love Him too. Hallelujah. I love Him with all of my heart. So if indeed God is your shepherd, you love Him. Yeah. Your loving God doesn't have to be a show off. Like, your loving God is not because you are in the choir. Your loving God is not because you are preaching here. No, no, no. So because that's the mistake some of us, maybe in the workforce, that's the mistake we do. We look at some other people that are not in the workforce and think, oh, these people are sinners. No, maybe some of those people are even more righteous than you are.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of them are more righteous than you are. I love the Lord with all of my heart. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. What it means that the Lord is my shepherd is because I love him what? With all of my heart. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. You love God with everything. So, job cannot take you away from the love of God. Sickness cannot take you away from the love of God. Family cannot take you away from the love of God. That's why Jesus was saying in Luke chapter 14, he said, if any man will follow me, he must deny himself. He must deny his family. He must deny every of his means to be able to follow. It does not mean that you should hate your family. That's not the point. It's just that the opinion of Christ counts first before any other opinion. That's what it means. That is what it means. Hallelujah. I revere God. I revere him. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. I revere God. You know, to share the word, to quote the scripture, I will fear no evil. It can sound very simple and easy, but it doesn't just come that way. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment. This fear here is not the fear of God will kill me tomorrow. No. It's to revere God. To make him first in your life. That's what it means. That is what it means. And because the Lord is my shepherd also, I put the whole of my trust in him. Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2. Psalms 125, verses 1 and 2. Quickly. I put the whole of they that trust. Can we read it together, everybody? They that trust in the Lord shall be as much. Oh my goodness. Which cannot be removed, but abide forever. Verse 2. As the mountains are around about Jerusalem, so the Lord is able. He started with what? Those that trust the Lord. It's easy to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you trust the Lord? I'm not sure. Maybe Isaiah chapter 49, verse 18. It says that those that put their trust in the Lord shall never be put to shame. Those that put their trust in God, they shall never be put to shame. It's not possible. So tell me somebody that is facing shame. I'll tell you that the person does not have his or her trust in God. Because the word of God cannot be broken. The word of God cannot be broken. Hallelujah. So if you put your trust in God, God is saying that he will be like a mountain and surround you. You know what that simply means? If anybody must hurt you, they have to break the defense of God first. They have to break the defense system of God first. If anybody must be able to hurt you, the person would have to go through God first, if they'll be able to hurt you. It simply means that no evil can hurt you. That's why you will boldly say, I will fear no evil. Because you are with me. So some people will not read that last part. People say, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Do you know if God loves you? I'm not talking about the general love. For God so loved the Lord. That's for everybody. That's for everybody. Even the person that is sitting outside there. That's for everybody. But you need to step forward. After receiving that first love, you need to move into that love with God. You need to move into that love with God. Hallelujah. Let me quickly share one scripture with us. Psalms 46, verse 1 to 3. Psalms 46, verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2. Therefore, will not we fear? Oh, this is too archaic. Do you have New King James Version, please? New King James Version. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed. We will not what? We will not fear. Why? Because God is our refuge. God is our refuge. And though the mountains be carried away, God already said that God is like a mountain that surrounds us. So whatsoever is going on, it does not concern me. Tell your neighbor, say it does not concern me. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, verse 3. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, I am untouchable. I am untouchable. Come on, say, I am untouchable. Come on, somebody rise on your feet. Say, I am untouchable. I need you to speak with some level of confidence this morning. I'm not done with preaching, but I just want you to speak with some level of confidence. Say, I am untouchable. Because the Lord is with me, I will fear no evil. Because God is my refuge and strength, I will fear no evil. Because God is my present help in times of need, I will fear no evil. So when sickness comes, when unpleasant stuff come around, I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is with me. Some people are not sure. And they are looking at me as if I'm performing something here. I am telling you the word of God with all boldness. I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. When joblessness is disturbing me, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. When it looks as if I am being delayed, I will fear no evil because what? The Lord is with me. When I've heard in my family that they cannot go beyond 40 years, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. When I hear that there is no good, they said it also about Jesus. They said no good can come out of Nazareth. But because the Lord was with him, hallelujah. Let's have a seat. I will fear no evil. I want to pray for 1 minute. Begin to pray this word. I will reach my goal. I will have my harvest. I will enjoy my harvest. Because the Lord is with me. Because the Lord is my refuge. Because the Lord is my strength. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I will reach my goal. I will have my harvest. I will enjoy my harvest. I will not lose my stops. I will not lose my mind. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because the Lord is with me. I will reach my goal. I will have my harvest. In the mighty name of Jesus. I will not lose. In the name of Jesus. I will not be sick. In the name of Jesus. I will not die. In the name of Jesus. I will be the head and not the tail. Because the Lord is with me. Sickness will not live in my body. In the mighty name of Jesus, every delay, God will come to my rescue now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I remove delay from my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, God will come my way. God will come to my rescue. I remove delay from my life. In the mighty name of Jesus, I will fear no evil. Whatever the enemy is throwing at me, I will fear no evil. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Let me quickly share this with you. When we had our first born, because in my lineage is the lineage of Jesus Christ. In their lineage. Thank you so much for telling me about the time. Thank you. This is very key. In my lineage, they said, when you give birth to your firstborn, your wife must not eat anything salt. Oil. And they call it ate in my language. That's what they call it. It simply means something without taste, without form, without anything. I said, no, not me. Not my wife. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is with me. So they said, and truly, they actually referred me to somebody, true life story. The woman refused, the child that unfortunately, I think before they named the child, or maybe just after they named the child, died, and they were telling me, I said, no, that's not my business. I fear no evil. Bring it up. I fear no evil. Hallelujah. Until today, my two boys are doing very, very well, doing wonderfully well. Hallelujah. And we fear no evil. It depends on how you are with this shepherd that can give you that confidence. I'm not saying I'm a saint. I'm not a saint. It shows that the heartbeat of God is more important to me than my life. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Fear no evil. Hallelujah. I'll just have to stop here. Before I stop, like I said, you must continue making him a shepherd always, in and out of season. What that means is that you don't come to God only when it is pleasing to you. You come to God even when it's not convenient for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalms 91, verse 1 and then 14 to 16. We'll read that and then I'll just round up. Because today is Thanksgiving and I want us to give our offering in a way to dance to the Lord and, you know, even within the next 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes. Hallelujah. Psalms 91, verse 1. Let's read together. It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, not in the shadow of death, but under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me. Now, sorry, which version is this one? What the scripture is saying is this. God is speaking and saying, because he has put my love in his heart. Eh? He now said, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. God talking about you. What was the first condition? Because you have put the love of God in your heart. That supersedes any other thing. God by himself is saying, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name. The next verse. He shall call upon me. And I will what? I will be with him in what? In trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16. Oh my God. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Me, if I go home today, it's just because God feels that I am done. It's not because I fear any evil. Praise the Lord. I will fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is with me. Come on, rise on your feet this morning.